Senate will please come back to order. Just give me about 1 second for the computer to reboot here. It's doing fine. It's okay. It's probably the power plug, but it's... While the computer is rebooting, the reason we have to have that, of course, because that's our microphone system. We're getting towards the end of the session. Staff are busy. And we did two conference committee reports this morning that we got ahead of the staff. The reports themselves were not distributed. We had the explanation and we voted on them. Those reports are now in your package, but what I'd ask is if you are looking for, if we hit a conference report and you look in your file and it's not there, please don't hesitate to get a microphone and ask whether it's been distributed. And the staff apologizes for that. It's not their fault. It's just we're rocking and rolling now. And some of these things don't get distributed. So once again, if we hit a joint conference, and maybe even if the folks that bring their reports up, and if I ask you, are you ready on the reports, maybe it'd be a nice exercise to look in your package and see whether your report was distributed, because the people that have their reports are probably the best people to say, yeah, I know that got distributed, okay? So let's work together and try to make sure we're working together on that. Senator Esquibel.
Privilege to the floor, Mr. President.
Sure. You have it.
As you mentioned, Mr. President, let's work together and let's rock and roll, and the Race for the Cure is coming up. So I want to remind all of you that you've got some of these entry forms on your desk. And when you have time, if you wouldn't mind filling it out, and let's rock and roll for a Race for the Cure. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Esquibel. We do have reports from standing committees.
February the 26th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 7, Corporation Lex Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill Number 201 in gross, Deposits by Political Subdivisions, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 26th, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill 182 in gross, Public Assistant Assistance Eligibility. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senator Case, Pappas, and Scott. No, Senators Hicks and Meyer. Senator Case, Chairman. February the 26th, 2015. Mr. President, your Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 205, engrossed, Revisors Bill, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Kraft, Nicholas, Perkins, and Rothfuss, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 25th, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 114, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Cole, and Pappas. No, Senators Dockstader and Rothfuss, Senator co-chairman. February the 25th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 212, engrossed, Workers' Compensation Claim Apportionment. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatiron, Senator Von Flatiron, Chairman. February the 26th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred House Bill number 235, engrossed, Foreign Business Entities Reinstatement. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
I'm just staring at you for no good reason, but, well, that's, I'm going back to, no, my computer locked up to you, computer. I can't get your microphone on quite yet. Let me see if the program will come back here. Voila, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 235 engrossed that was just read in, Foreign Business Entities Reinstatement, has an appropriations, and it's the last bill we took up in corporations. We respectfully ask that it be re-referred to the Appropriations Committee.
That was 235?
Yes, sir. House Bill 235.
Without objection, House Bill 235 is re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations, and the objection has to come from a reliable source, so that's re-referred. Folks, what I would also say to you is we're having communication with the House Appropriations Committee. Having chaired that committee, you get down to the end of the days, and it's hard because if you don't get your re-referrals through, the bills die. And what ends up happening is that when you announce that we're going to go right in on certain bills, you try to draw the attention to the House sponsors. It's the House sponsors' responsibility to notify the Senate sponsors. Now, there are some issues, other issues that may arise that we're talking with them, but if you have bills that are alive, that have appropriations, you need to talk to your House sponsor counterpart and make sure they're alert to when those get referred and email you or get down. But it's partly your responsibility and your House counterpart to know when the re-referred bills are going because, as you know, we don't have time for 24-hour notices, just as we've done with this bill. If Senate Appropriations wants to consider that bill in an hour, they can, because re-referrals do not require the 24-hour notice. So we have to get those bills out quickly. The committee is working in between other responsibilities. So the caution is talk to your House counterparts. Tell them to watch for the re-referrals, to listen for them. And then if you need to be there, then they need to call you. And if you have witness or testimonial folks that you want to attend there, they just have to be aware that we're in the last couple days of this, and it's full throttle. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. House Bill 45, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 45, Health Care Sharing Ministry.
There are no amendments, no discussion. House Bill 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 62, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 62, property tax exemption for religious education camps.
No amendments, no discussion. House Bill 62, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 64, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 64, UCC Title 1 and 7 revisions.
House Bill 64, any amendments, no discussions? Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 106, second reading of the bill. Mr. Vice President, the next one's coming up is 108. If you'll get my amendment out and then come up to carry that, or I've got it here. House Bill 106, second reading of the bill.
Let me read this in. House Bill 106, non-consensual towing services.
Senator Meyer, do you want me to read? Is this on House Bill 106?
I've got some people I need to have the Senate welcome.
Pardon me?
So I have some folks that I want to have the Senate welcome.
House Bill 106, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Lady and gentlemen of the Senate, I would like to have you help me welcome the fourth grade class from Lingle, and they're here with their teacher, Mrs. Anderson, and coming down here to see how we do our jobs down here. So please help me welcome the fourth grade class from Lingle.
Hey.
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind.
Well, that's a pretty good-sized class from that school.
The next item is 108. I think that, Senator Hicks, would you like to have that laid back for a day?
Mr. President, we'd like to have 108 laid, House Bill 108 laid back for one day without any objections.
Without objections, House Bill 108 will be laid back for second reading tomorrow. House Bill 121, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 121, Article 5, Convention Limitations.
House Bill 121, there are no amendments or discussion. House Bill 121, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. House Bill 127, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 127, Termination of Employment Wages.
House Bill 127, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. With that order of business of bills on third reading, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do. Third reading consent list is as follows. House Bill 31, Exemption, Water Utilities. House Bill 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments. House Bill 93, Public Service Commission Authority. House Bill 100, Highway Funding. House Bill 152, Industrial Siding Impact Payments. House Bill 160, Special Warranty Deeds. House Bill 161, Retirement Action Account Exemption from Execution. House Bill 174, Nicotine Products Regulation. House Bill 181, Speeding Penalties in 80-mile-per-hour Zone. House Bill 186, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property, and House Bill 193, Veteran Burial Teams.
Could I get that list, please? Would any of the members like any of those bills removed from the consent list?
Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, House Bill 186.
House Bill 186 is removed from the consent list. Any other bills would like to have removed? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 31, Exemption Water Utilities. House Bill 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments. House Bill 93, Public Service Commission Authority. House Bill 100, Highway Funding. House Bill 152, Industrial Siding Impact Payments. House Bill 160, Special Warranty Deeds. House Bill 161, Retirement Account Exemption from Execution. House Bill 174, Nicotine Products Regulations. House Bill 181, Speeding Penalties in 80 Miles Per Hour Zone. And House Bill 193, Veteran Burial Teams. If the Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll, excused. Emmerich.
I don't think I'm too
wrong. Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson. Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Yeah.
Meyer.
Here. We're all aye.
Here and I.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 31, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 76, are there any changes? Case I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 76. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 93. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 93. 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 100, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 100, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 152, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 152, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 160, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 160, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 161, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 161, 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 174, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 174, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. House Bill 181, are there any changes? Case aye to no.
Johnson aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 181, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. House Bill 193, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 193, 29 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 31, 76, 93, 100, 152, 160, 161, 174, 181, and 193 have passed the Senate. House Bill 138, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers, by Representative Northrup, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 138, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy. Delete the Scott et al. Second reading amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 38 and ask the body to vote aye. I bring this third reading amendment, so we could talk a little bit more about the action that we took yesterday, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd ask the body to just think about if they've actually had teachers who are not special education teachers or their workers to come and ask you to provide them workers' compensation coverage across all teachers in the school districts. I certainly haven't had that experience in mind, and one of the things that you look at this, I think that what you, and I bring this for a couple of reasons. One is it's quite expensive. Two, it does a number of things. One, that I think you can separate out and look at those who provide special education. Mr. President, if we go out and you think like you have nursing homes or other care centers, yeah, there's lots of lifts. There's things that happen with people who have outbursts. Just the physical demands associated with assisting and helping and lifting separate out special education teachers from the rest of the teaching staff. However, the rest of the teachers, you wonder why it is that we would do this. I mean, most other teachers are going to have health insurance that will cover those health insurance claims. When you get this, about the only thing that workers' compensation that is going to do for these teachers is three things. One, it's going to prevent them from ever suing their employer for any health work-related injury. That may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, because that's what's one of the covenants or one of the grand bargains of workers' compensation. But the other side of that, it's going to provide maybe some coverage for work-related injuries, which your health care would already cover, do the medical coverage. It might provide a little bit of temporary disability while you're recovering, and it might provide a little bit of partial permanent disability, possibly total disability, but even in those are for very limited times under the workers' compensation model. We passed a bill that, if you remember back, you're at the most you can have is about 60 months. But the other thing that happens, I wonder about the message. What we're doing now is classifying teachers as ultra-hazardous occupations, all teachers. And we look at that, what message is that sending? Are we next now going to have every nursery provider, every private school teacher, everybody's in a teaching function, employed in any kind of teaching function, are we calling that now extra-hazardous? You can vote the way you want on this, but for me, Mr. President, I would like to vote for this bill because I think the original intent of the bill was a good purpose. I see and understand the difference related to that. I think that it's not, I really question the wisdom in expanding it to all teachers, at least without some additional study to see if this is really a benefit that's really needed and wanted, but also the broader spectrum of the consideration of what is an ultra-hazardous occupation in the state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I'm trying to think. My wife's a teacher. I always thought they had workers' comp, but now I think that if they don't, why do they need it? Because there's 60 sick days that they get. They get paid during those days. The school hires a substitute. There's no cost out of their pocket. They have their job when they come back. So I'm trying to figure out why, and the health insurance is paid for except for a nominal deductible. I'm trying to figure out why we would need to cover them with workers' comp if that's, and I'm assuming it's probably about the same type of benefits throughout the districts, but I don't know why we'd have to have workers' comp, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. I think somehow the bringer of this amendment is confused. The amendment in no way extends workers' compensation to all teachers. The amendment that was adopted yesterday, and I'm looking at the text of it here in the green sheets, inserts special education teachers, other special education professional staff. It does not extend it to all teachers. There was an early draft that was an error that may have gotten out. That was why we laid it back, because we wanted to make sure that we were not extending it to all teachers. And what the amendment we adopted yesterday does, the bill extends it just to the special education teachers that are in the special classrooms where the worst of these cases go. The amendment we adopted yesterday extends the coverage to all special education teachers and their special education professional staff, which are the itinerant staff that goes from building to building treating these people. And those special education teachers are in an extra hazardous profession. You need to cover all of them, the way they move around, the number of the kids, and the fact that with the way things are done, special education now, they're exposed to some of the severe kids too. So all the special education teachers need coverage. If you were to extend it to all the teachers, it would have been a much larger cost. And I would recall to the Senate the discussion we had yesterday that what we're trying to do with the amendment we adopted yesterday is go to the full special education group, because they do deal with kids that have these disabilities. They are at risk for extra injuries. Injuries, and now the health care is taken care of through their health insurance along with the deductibles. But they are just out of luck as far as lost work days go. And the workers' comp coverage is valuable. This is a classic thing where workers' comp makes a lot of sense. It's an extra hazardous occupation. And it's cheaper if you're going to extend coverage to all the special ed teachers. And that's different from all the teachers, way different. It's cheaper to do it to start with because of the way workers' comp calculates its experience rating. You get the ones with the greater hazard in, your experience ratings are going to go up. You then extend it to the larger group. They'll get stuck with that higher experience rating for a couple of years, until the experience gets it beat down to where it really belongs, and it'll cost the school foundation program a good deal more. So I'll speak against the amendment, but I would urge the sponsor of the amendment to rethink, because I think there's just a misunderstanding of what the amendment does, and the language is pretty plain. And we talked to the workers' comp people about it.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, and I have a lot of respect for the amendment from my
the senior senator on the floor, who's actually been here a little longer than I have, and we had a great discussion on this. And just so you understand the numbers, again, I'm going to reiterate the numbers. We're talking about if you defeat the amendment the way it was amended yesterday, we're talking 1,320-plus special ed teachers in the state of a total salary of about $72 million, and then you take the 3.3%. That's where you get the $2.1 million. The way the bill came originally, without the second reading amendment, we're talking about 96.92 staff people of a salary of about $404.1 million. If you take the 3.3%, that's where the bill had $164,000 in it. But first of all, I want to say that I made a mistake on the floor yesterday when I said that all teachers had workers' comp. That, in fact, is not true, and I stand corrected. The only two teachers I think are covered under workers' comp are science teachers and vo-ed teachers, and so I apologize to the body for that. Reluctantly, I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment, and I understand the intentions of my good friend from Natrona County. No question that special ed teachers are under duress wherever they go. They take kids out of the school system, take them to speech therapists, they take them all over the place. They move around from school to school. But reluctantly, I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment now, because we do have a good little bill here. It's a really good bill. It deserves your strong consideration on third vote. And I think we can understand the intensity of what we're talking about and take this discussion on to recalibration. But hats off to my good friends from Natrona County for bringing the second reading amendment. I speak in favor of this amendment.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would rise in support of this amendment. And if it included all teachers, it would be a really bad idea. Now it's just sort of a bad idea to expand this coverage. And for a couple of reasons, and the reasons that I would share with the body, and I understand where my colleague from Natrona County is coming from, but as I understand it, you know, we're gonna add cost to the foundation program for situations that we really don't know the need out there. I haven't heard anything about the need for the other 1,320 or however many people it is, so that, in fact, if you get into that need, the only way you can justify your argument that we're going to go to that higher rate is on the EMR rating, if in fact those others that are on board really have a huge claim situation. I don't know that they do or that they don't. But you're going to charge the school districts another $2.5 million, and yet if these people are out there and they are injured, then they have their own health insurance that covers them. They have 6 days to pay and take care of it. But even more importantly, if this was a need, why didn't they come to the body with the entire coverage instead of just selectively? So I think we're getting the cart ahead of the horse. If this is really something that needs to happen, let's look at recalibration. Let's visit it, do it thoughtfully, and come back and do it in the way we should, which is with careful consideration. I would support the amendment.
Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. I would urge the defeat of the amendment. I really appreciate all the discussion, and I really appreciate at least a portion of our special education teachers being brought in. But I would really hope that you would look at including all of them, as my good colleague from Natrona County talked. There was a handout distributed by the good senator from Park County that is probably still on your desk, that gives you the exact numbers of all of the special education categories. I'd just like to speak to a couple of things that haven't been addressed yet. I actually worked with this population as a school counselor for 27 years. And during those times, I cannot tell you the number of work-related injuries that came up. It's not a question of coverage, of insurance coverage. All districts have coverage, but I would remind you there is not a universal coverage for insurance. This is a district by district. I was kind of impressed that one district offers 60 sick days a year, because when I worked, I used to get 10. That's the problem. There aren't that many sick days. There are sick days, there's personal leave days, there's no vacation because you're off in the summer. And people would run out of sick days. I spoke with a colleague of mine who actually is home nursing a separated shoulder from a
particular school-related injury, who was totally and completely out of sick days. She borrowed as many as she could from the sick leave bank, and now she's just being docked salary. That's the big issue there, and I would present to you that the need is indeed there. I think it's a wonderful bill, but I think it's an even better bill with this amendment that brings them all in. So thank you, and I would urge your defeat of this amendment.
Further discussion before the movement takes his second and final time? The movement is Senator Perkins. Senator Scott, would you like to speak to the bill again? Senator Scott.
Yeah. Mr. President, and I will admit I was thrown off a bit by the initial discussion that this was extending to all teachers, and there's no way that amendment can be construed as doing that. And, Mr. President, I will ask for the yeas and nays. Mr. President, we heard considerable in committee about the need and about the need to extend it to all the teachers and all the teachers that are special ed teachers and the professional staff that's involved here that aren't covered now. You've got really a classic situation where workers' comp coverage is involved. They are in an extra hazardous occupation. It's a difficult one to control because some of these kids just do not understand what they're doing. And I will tell you from personal experience that these kids are capable of doing quite a bit of damage to an individual. Way back when, my wife was actually injured by a kid that was in the special ed category. She was working not at the school district at the time, but the principle is exactly the same. It can and does happen. What the situation we're facing is, we've got the aides that work in the restricted classrooms covered now. The bill would cover the teachers. That is going to raise your experience rating in this category. My guess is it'll go over 4%, raise it a percentage point. And that's a guess. The rest of the special ed teachers, the large numbers, their risk is not as great. They will have a significantly higher risk because of the hazard of working with these kids than the regular teacher. My guess is you're going to see the rate eventually come down with all of them into the 2% range. And if that's true, we can do it through the recalibration. But, Mr. President, I think it'll cost us in premiums to the school district an extra probably $2 million to do it that way. We're safer doing it all at once. It's something that needs to be done because these other special ed teachers are at risk, even though their risk is not as great as the ones that deal primarily with the just the isolated classroom. So for that reason, I would urge you to stick with the position you took yesterday and defeat this amendment, and let's do it right the first time. It'll be, number one, it's right. Number two, it'll be cheap.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I would hope that we would vote for this amendment and not vote for the bill. I'll give you the reason.
Let's speak to the amendment, and then you get to the bill later.
Okay. The reason, Mr. President, is that if we add this group in there, we're going to be spending a lot of money for the same coverages twice. As workers' comp covers some medical expenses, we're already covered by the health care and the medical expenses that we're paying for insurance. We need to modify the workers' comp program, Mr. President, so we can have a differentiation on state employees where we're already paying for the medical expenses. And then you're only paying the workers' comp program is for the additional coverage that we're not already paying premiums for. And so I know there'd be an exchange in the experience rating. However, workers' comp pays the medical expenses first, so that's a big chunk of what workers' comp pays for. So if we could bifurcate those, we could probably get coverage for all of the teachers for $2.1 million for workers' comp if we didn't have to add in the medical portion of it. So, Mr. President, I think if we can look at that point in time, I think it's probably the right way to go.
Further discussion before the movement takes the second and final time. Back to the movement, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I do stand partially corrected, Mr. President. Speaking on the first time through, I was working off the original amendment, which was later pulled back to a corrected copy. So that just to my good tall colleague from Natrona County is exactly right that the corrected copy only does expand this to special education teachers or other special education professional staff. That being said, Mr. President, I still urge the body to vote in favor of this agreement. As you look at this, I'm curious about the argument in that if this is really as hazardous, it's appropriate that we expand this to have workers' compensation coverage, but then we expect the rates to go down because we don't expect very many injuries. I guess the question is if we expect the rate to go down to that of clerical workers, why would we need the workers' compensation coverage in the first place? As we do this, it may be appropriate to study this and look at this, but, as this bill came through, it went through the committees, it went through appropriations, and then when it comes out on the floor, we have this amendment that expands it, and we have the results. I think we need to move more slowly than that, more deliberate than that. I think that there's a number of unanswered questions, and I would urge the body to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
We're on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 138. Roll call having been requested. Roll call.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft? Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Rothfuss, aye to no. Hastert? Aye to no.
Burns,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Mr. Vice President, would you please come forward and take the chair? Discussion on the bill itself.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, on and against the bill. For the following reasons. Folks, you may not realize it, but one of the largest liabilities that the state has that are not on our bank, on our balance sheet, is accrued vacation as well as sick leave for state employees. We have on occasion thought about when do you book that liability. As you know, state employees accrue sick time, they accrue sick leave. The liability of the state of Wyoming for those programs is somewhere, just for the state employees, is say $60 to $70 million. school districts are probably a like kind, so this is a liability that occurs. Now, one of the ways it's paid for is if you retire and you take your leave, positions are held open long enough to pay out these positions so that other employees have to come in and take the responsibility. The reason I bring that up with respect to this bill is that the part of the benefits program that we have for state employees is a complicated system that provides for sick leave, it provides for vacation pay, you can accrue it to a limit, and there are borrowing banks that were talked about so that employees that find themselves in a position can reach out and borrow days from other employees. When they do that borrowing, there's no cost in many instances to the employee who is granting it, because ordinarily the employees, when they grant the sick leave to a colleague, they may have already hit their level to where they're not going to take it with them in the end, so it's a free gift. But the taxpayers pay for it. And we've talked over and over about how to take care of this problem. This is an individual bill brought by individual members that have identified a problem that probably needs to be addressed. As you know, I'm part of a family that the world's not perfect, and sometimes you end up with children that become very large and can act in ways that can harm people. I don't disagree with that. And we have employees that may have, during the course of their employment, risk that we ought to say, if you're injured in that capacity, there ought to be some form of compensation that, so you don't have to erode your regular sick pay, because your regular sick and vacation pay were not intended to deal with work-related injuries, particularly when the injuries are unexpected. Having said that, there's a proper way to develop this plan, and it occurs to me that our colleague from Goshen County began to allude to this. This is a plan we should build for our teachers that say, we don't just bring you into the workers' compensation plan. Rather, what we say, if you're injured in the line of taking care of one of these children, then certain things happen. And we might expect you to use part of your leave. We might expect you to do things. But we're going to create a narrow scope. We don't just say you get to jump into the system so that if one of these categories of employees is leaving school and trips on the sidewalk, all of a sudden a whole series of payments come in, workers' compensation begins engaged, and that's not a benefit allowed to other teachers that have the same risk of falling over sidewalk. So that if we're going to carve out this exception, let's find out what the carve-out is. Let's build a program to deal with this. Now, you can say, well, let's wait, and this is the right way to get it started and come back, but we know you can't do that. Once extended, the hand of aid cannot be with impunity be withdrawn. We know that concept. The better way to do this is let's focus on it, build the program correct. And why does it need to be built correctly? Because the liability is so great. The disparities need to be fair, and it's a system that needs to be thoughtful. Whether it's, I don't think it's really a recalibration issue. I think it's an education committee issue. But we can deal with it in the interim and build a program that identifies the risk, takes care of that particular risk, and does not develop a system of compensation that's unrelated to the risk involved and unfair to the taxpayers who already pay quite a bit. On against the bill.
You want to stay?
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and this is not my bill, but on and for the bill. This is very much needed. The discussion of sick leave problems with state employees is a red herring, and I don't think particularly germane to this bill. I don't know the sick leave policies of all our 48, is it now, school districts. I think they're probably all different. But we did hear considerable testimony in Committee 10 that the employees were suffering because their sick days were inadequate to take care of the time off that some of these people had to have because they were injured by children. This is a classic case where you need the workers' comp coverage. The employees are getting injured in the workplace. They're having to pay whatever deductibles their particular health plan, and those are all different in school districts. There's only one school district that's in the state plan. They're having to pay all those deductibles. They're having to pay the co-payments, the other costs. They're getting docked salary. I suppose, Mr. President, they have an alternative. They could go sue the school system. They could go sue the parents. But the reason we developed workers' comp was we found that suing system, and this was 100 years ago, it produced random results, and it didn't really take care of people who were injured in the workplace. And this bill extends the workers' comp coverage to the teachers who are most likely to get hurt in the workplace. And, Mr. President, if we're going to expect those teachers to take care of our most severe cases, they need that protection. What they're doing now is they're having to sometimes turn over some of that work to their aides that are covered, simply because they are covered. And that's not good. And then sometimes they're taking care of the problems and they're being injured. So the bill is very much needed. I think the extension is needed, but we'll have to deal with that through the recalibration. That's fine. But we very much need the bill.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, thank you. We already provide workers' comp coverage for some teachers, and I believe it's science teachers and shop teachers, vo-ed teachers, hazardous type stuff where they're using saws, they're welding, they're doing different things. You've got some teachers that have things blow up in the lab and in science class. But Mr. President, remember one thing, that after we had the Supreme Court decisions, back in the days prior to when we recalibrated in 2010, back in 2005 is the first time we recalibrated, this state chose to reimburse special education at 100%. We are the only state in the country that reimburses special education at 100%. We also reimburse transportation at 100%. What I'm getting at is that roughly 62% of the revenues that flow into the school foundation program come from local resources. But the fairness issue to debate workers' comp, where it exists, why the program is there, I do agree with the president on one thing. We probably do need to have a better plan overall with workers' comp in general. But this is a good bill. It's a needed bill. It's a bill that has a lot of support out there in districts and other places. Urge that you support the bill on third reading. I don't know what else to add to the debate except to tell you I think it's a fairness issue. It's an identified need issue in the extra hazardous areas. And it's a good bill for the benefit of how we treat our special education kids and particularly the teachers.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to be brief, I would hope that you would support the bill. I've been out of the profession over 15 years. It was a problem for those folks then. It's a greater problem now. And I will simply say, as I talk to those people that are currently in the profession, the thing that they say, it gets more difficult, more problematic every day. I would hope that you would support the bill.
Question on the bill?
Question.
Question having called. Chief Clerk, please call
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll excused. Emmerich? Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 22 aye, 7 no, 1 excused.
Senate or House Bill 138, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members of the elected Senate, House Bill 138 has passed the Senate.
Let me restate that again. House Bill 138, having received the majority vote of the members, the vote of the majority members elect the Senate, House Bill 138 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Being no announcements, the all those in favor of recess until 2 p.m. say aye. Folks, anybody that doesn't want recess, I know, the House will stand in recess until 2 p.m. or